Well, we were really excited to get the invitation to speak at the Republican National Convention. I think it's, you know, obviously I've considered to be a great honor to be invited. I think it's also an honor for both Bowling Green and for Kentucky to have someone speak at the National Convention. What we'll talk about is really just the contrast between the different visions, you know, the different visions for the country.
Senator Paul, we've heard you and Governor Romney have really been hitting the president on the issue of taxes and tax fairness. And what do you say to an American who would say to you that maybe I don't believe that the wealthy pay enough in taxes? You know, what do you say to counter that?
Well, I think you just have to look at the facts. When you look at the facts, about 10% of people make over $200,000 a year. They pay 70% of the income tax. About 50% of the people make more than $75,000 a year, and they pay 96% of the income tax. So really the facts are that the wealthy, middle class and above, pay all of the income tax. Those on the bottom end actually receive money back from government through the earned income tax credit. So really what's happened, and particularly with the Bush tax cuts dropped more people off the bottom of the rolls and lowered some of the rates, but actually made the tax code more progressive. So the rich pay almost all of the income tax. The middle class and the rich pay almost all of the income tax. And when people say, oh, it's not their fair share, you just have to look at the facts and look at the numbers. And the bottom line is that the rich do pay most of the income tax in our country.
Senator, how confident are you that all of the Bush tax cuts are going to be extended? Are you going to have to be able to pick and choose some that stay and some that go, or how's that going to work?
Well, you know, the president has wanted to exclude and raise taxes on farmers through the estate tax or small businesses owned by family. He wants to raise and nearly double the estate tax. He also wants to raise taxes on businesses and individuals who make more than $250,000. Now, you may say, well, that's not very many people, but it's about 1 million small businesses in our country. And those people pay an enormous amount of the tax load. So if you look at those over 250, you may say, oh, those rich people, they're not paying enough. Well, they already pay 50% of the income tax. So they're already paying an enormous amount. So if you raise taxes on all those businesses, what you'll get is the unintended consequence, and that's that if you work for one of those businesses, you may no longer have a job. It doesn't work to try to tax or punish rich people. We've tried this. We had a special tax on yachts a few years ago. The rich people just went to the Bahamas to buy their yachts, and the people who lost their jobs were those who made $50,000 and $60,000 a year in our country building the yachts. So it just doesn't work.
Senator, are you currently being vetted by the Romney campaign for a potential vice presidential spot?
No.
Would you accept such a spot if one was offered to you?
You know, I've said in the past that when it has been rumored and discussed, that would be an honor. Like I say, even speaking at the convention is a real honor, but I don't believe that that's going to be something that happens.
Senator, what's the level of support so far for Mitt Romney's campaign amongst the Tea Party? Do you think Tea Party members are going to turn out in high enough numbers this November to support Mitt Romney?
Yeah, and I think the case, you know, when we lost the case in the Supreme Court against Obamacare, I think all the Tea Party voters now realize that our only chance to repeal it is at the ballot box. And I think they have begun to coalesce around Romney.
Senator, you mentioned the recent Supreme Court decision regarding the Affordable Care Act. You were quoted afterwards as, and I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but I believe it was to the effect of, just because a few people on the Supreme Court say something is constitutional doesn't mean it is. Could you explain what you meant by that, and do you regret that at all?
No, I stand by that. What I meant by that is that I think that Obamacare is still unconstitutional. I took the question to mean, for example, if you were interviewing Justice Scalia today and you ask him, does he still think it's unconstitutional, even though the court voted and decided, and obviously it is valid for now, he still would tell you he believes it's unconstitutional. I think so would Justice Thomas. I think if Madison were here today, Madison would tell you, the father of the Constitution would tell you that he thinks it's unconstitutional, because Madison was very explicit. He said, you know, the taxing authority is not unlimited. We can't tax and make you do anything we want to. We can only tax you according to what the enumerated powers are, the powers that were given to Congress in the Constitution. So this debate's a long one, and it's not really over. You know, we have Supreme Court cases, and we sometimes go decades till we correct previous bad decisions. You know, at one time, Dred Scott was the law of the land. And it was an awful Supreme Court decision. So was Plessy versus Ferguson. So we've come about and changed and corrected previous problems. I think this was a mistake, and I think ultimately if we get a more original understanding of the Constitution, we'll reverse this mistake.
Senator, where do things stand? What's the current timeline on your bill that would cut USAID to Pakistan?
Dr. Afridi is the doctor who helped get us information on bin Laden, and then the Pakistani government, you know, imprisoned him for life. And he was supposed to have an appeal in July, and they canceled that and rescheduled for August 30th. If he is not released, if they don't reevaluate the information and let him go, then we will have a vote on it in the U.S. Senate shortly thereafter. I have the signatures required to discharge this, to force the leadership to let me have a vote. It's not easy, though. I have to gain access to the floor, and you would think a U.S. senator would be allowed to have access. Physically, you're allowed to go down there, but procedurally, they won't let you bring up a bill. And so it will be a fight and a tussle, but they also need me to get out of the way to let them pass other things. And we will have to pass spending bills and things like that, or the government shuts down, and we'll play hardball with them, and we'll see how far they want to play this out. Just to avoid voting. They could always vote me down, but I'm not going to let them have no vote. And so we will see what happens, and this may be an epic battle with Harry Reid, depending on which way he decides to go on this.
So, Senator, do I hear you to say, like, you would be willing to maybe use procedural tactics to hold up other pieces of legislation unless you are given the right to at least bring your Pakistan aid bill up for an official vote?
Yeah, exactly, because they're doing the same thing to stop me from having the vote.
Wouldn't such a bill, though, Senator, even if it passed the Senate, if it passed the House, wouldn't it be vetoed by the president?
Well, that would be an interesting thing to see, and that's another thing. I would love to see the president take a position on this. Now, the other day in the House, they did vote to cut Pakistan's aid in half. So there is a growing consensus that Pakistan, you know, if they want to be our ally, and they have helped us in the war on terror, but if they really want to be our ally, they need to start acting like it.
Are you worried at all about the potential of losing what influence we have with Pakistan if such a bill became a reality?
I think our influence with other countries should be that we trade with them. If they're our allies, we might even sell weapons to them. But I don't think we have to give them gifts. I don't think you have to buy your friends. Anybody that's ever seen a child try to buy a friend with money, you don't get real friends that way. It's the same way between countries.